Without the data, the department is unable to determine that services are not dual billed, that is being paid for both with Medicaid funds and state funds, nor can they offer the providers feedback about services and associated costs. There is a representative here from the Department of Health and Social Services that will explain why this bill is the appropriate vehicle to obtain that data. Thank you.
You have any questions? Yes, Senator Terrio.
This stems from the findings of an audit. Is that correct? I'm sorry.
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, yes. Actually, we did the first audit on mental health services in 1997. And we looked at it because Senate Finance was concerned about the escalating costs in that program. And what we found there and in the subsequent follow-up that was just issued in January of this year is that a fee-for-service Medicaid financing plan and a state-funded grant program are inherently difficult to work with, and that by providing that client data to the department to do the analysis will allow the department to actually manage this program the way it needs to be done.
Now, I wanted to note for the record that I was the one that requested that in 97 because we found that the reserve accounts of a couple of our larger providers had grown significantly to the place where they had between half and two-thirds of a year cash income reserves sitting in their account. Nobody was asking them to spend down those reserves before we gave them state money. Even though my mental health programs in Ketchikan and other places where communities assisted them, before the community would step in and assist, they would make certain that those reserves were spent down to the place where they had maybe a month or 6 weeks worth of reserves. But some of these larger entities had 6 months to 9 months reserves and were paying themselves significant salary increases. In 1 year, South Central paid a 14% across the board salary increase to every one of their employers, including their executive director, which would have violated state law had they been paying it under state monies. And as a consequence, we were trying to find out at the time, how much is our state program paying for? What amount of income are they receiving when they bill out to insurance companies? And why isn't there some accountability in that process? We're obviously still fighting that same war and trying to get some accountability out of these folks. So, Pat, I really appreciate Ledge Council coming forward, or Budget and Audit, I mean, coming forward with this bill. It's overdue. Yes. Senator Donnelly.
Is there anybody else signed up to testify? Are you ready?
We have the department.
No. Yeah, the department. Yeah. We had Pat here and then and Henry, too. Yeah, do you have questions for Pat? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pretty new to this bill, but wondered why the entire mental health record of an individual client is needed. Is it possible to only have transmitted the information that's necessary for the expressed purpose, or is the entire record required?
Through the chair, Senator Ellis, I'm actually going to ask Ann Henry to discuss the details about what type of information is being requested.
Okay. And Mr. Chairman, just as the other witness is coming forward, the broad nature of this title troubles me a bit. I'm in tune with Senator Donnelly on the idea that titles that are too tight are obnoxious among the two bodies of the legislature, so I wouldn't want to go overboard, but there may be some utility in making this title more representative of the actual provisions within it rather than just a wide open target.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing specific that I'm hoping to preclude from other people's involvement in this bill, but something this broad about mental health information and records should make all of us take notice. Some of the most sensitive information imaginable.
Yes, go right ahead.
If for the record, my name is Ann Henry. I'm the Special Projects Coordinator for the Division of Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities. And through the chair, Senator Ellis, the information that we gather is demographic information that uses a unique identifier rather than the individual's name and Social Security. We use initials, the last four digits of the Social Security number and the person's birth date to identify that person and then link that person to subsequent documents, which give information about the kind of encounters that they've had, the duration of the encounter, that sort of thing. So we're not requesting the entire file. We don't go through progress notes or anything like that. It's just that the diagnosis, the person's housing situation, their legal status, things like that, that allow us to determine what kind of help different communities need, what we're seeing in the big picture for the mental health situation for the state.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Senator Terrio.
And we need to get enough information so that we can track how the person is receiving or how services are being offered to this person. If we're looking for some accountability, you've got to know what the person is getting. And so you can track to see whether they're just revolving around and around in the system and we're not going anywhere. We've got programs that don't have any kind of favorable outcome, and that was one of the things that I think the auditor was saying. If we're really looking for accountability right now, we don't even have basic information to see whether this person's just spinning around in the system or whether we have some success and people come out the end of the system. So, and with regard to the title, when I had the bill drafted up as chairman of LBNA and put in, I guess I wasn't anticipating that there'd be any sort of chicanery or tricks or things tacked on here. I'm not opposed to tightening down the title. So if Senator Ellis has a suggestion, or perhaps the department, how we could just narrow it a little bit. Quite frankly, I don't think anybody's going to play games with this bill. But just to be on the safe side, I'm not opposed to a title change.
Further questions for the witness? Did you have other comments you wish to make?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Sure.
Thank you. The division has worked with the community mental health providers for several years trying to get this data from them, and for technical reasons and other reasons, we have not been successful in obtaining the data that we're going after. There has been a lawsuit that basically this bill addresses in detail that the board of the mental health center that was suing has put the suit aside in lieu of the passage of this bill, and that's why the bill covers some of the issues that it covers. We have also amended our initial bill to include requiring that the mental health centers provide data for the last 2 years to the division, department as well.
Thank you. Senator Terrio.
Chairman, that mental health provider that had initiated that suit was a Fairbanks provider, and I did deal with them in drafting up the bill to see if they were going to back away from that litigation, and they have.
Good. Senator Ellis, Chair, to entertain a motion to instruct the drafters to tighten up the title a bit. Conceptual amendment, if you wish to make that.
So moved. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Conceptual amendment has been made to at least make the title a little tighter. Is there objection? Being no objection, amendment number one passes. Are there other amendments? Other people? Go ahead, Senator Terrio. You had a comment.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just ask for your leeway so that the department can work with committee staff.
Absolutely.
On that title.
Absolutely.
So that we don't cause ourselves any problems.
Right. I'm not looking for one a mile long. I'm sure Senator Ellis didn't mean that. He just wants
a little bit
tighter instead of having, an act relating to. It's pretty broad when it comes to mental health stuff, and I have to share that concern with him.
And then, Mr. Chairman, just as chairman of LBNA, or in the past member of LBNA, I know quite often there's been a little bit of frustration that we get these audits that point out that we really need to do something, and either the person that requested the audit doesn't follow through, or there's some, for some reason, we don't follow through. And as chairman of the committee, I'm trying to look at what the auditor suggests we do and make sure that either the individual that requested the audit or LBNA, just as the committee, you know, get something into the hopper for the legislature to at least consider so that it's not wasted effort.
So I appreciate that very much. I was glad to see it. Having worked on this issue for a long time myself, some accountability would be appreciated. Anything further on the bill? Chair to entertain a motion. Senator Cowdery?
Motion to move Senate substitute for Senate Bill 135 Hess forward.
Motion has been made to move the bill as amended from committee with individual recommendations. Is there objection? There being no objection, the bill moves from committee. The last bill we have before us today is Senate Bill 178, an act relating to the detention of delinquents and to temporary detention hearings.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Holly Morris, and I'm on staff in Senator Terrio's office. Senate Bill 178, in essence, doesn't change our statute. What it does is it brings us into compliance with a federal law, and in doing so, allows us to access some regulatory time exemptions to lower violation rates and preserve our federal funding. It is in regards to juveniles having been detained in rural areas, and due to the rural area needing to be detained in an adult lockup facility. They have 24 hours to safely, as quickly as possible and as safely as possible, move those juveniles to a juvenile detention center. Our current statute allows us up to 48 hours if that is necessary because something is not safe. However, in changing the statute to match the federal language, we don't extend the time that a juvenile may be held in an adult lockup facility. In fact, it allows for a 24-hour, if a juvenile is to be held in an adult lockup facility for longer than 24 hours, they are to be given within that 24-hour period an arraignment. So it speeds up their due process, if necessary, because they can't get to a juvenile detention center. In changing the statute to comply with this federal law, it again doesn't, it allows us to optimize our federal funding possibilities.
Thank you very much. Questions? Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, my staff has done a good job on a bill that I handed her just a couple days ago that's rather confusing. And we have Mr. Butkin here also to answer technical questions. What we're trying to get to is federal law says for those states that require an initial hearing within 24 hours, if the state statute says 24 hours, then we have access to some federal exemptions. Our statute currently says 48 hours, so we don't have access to that wiggle room, basically, to deal with our remote rural lockup situations where a juvenile might have to be housed while they're waiting for the weather to clear or a plane to be available to transport them into a juvenile detention facility. We're in danger of losing about $160,000 of federal funds that can be used for alternatives, youth courts, things of that nature. In addition, if we don't come into compliance, an additional $500,000 of federal funds will be mandatorily steered to the state moving towards compliance. And again, that would be rerouting money that's currently available for youth courts and things of that nature to deal with minors who are swept into the system. So as staff indicated, we are not not really having a substantive change to the way that we currently operate. We're just giving ourselves official access to that those federal exemptions so that we can deal with situations where we have lizards or whatnot, and we just can't get the individual into a juvenile facility within a certain amount of time. With that, I'm sure Mr. Butt-Kane can answer any more technical questions.
Does the committee have questions for Mr. Butt-Kane?
And Mr. Chairman, if we could just make sure that I haven't misstated something.
For record, I am Robert Butt-Kane with Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Juvenile Justice. Senator Terrio did an excellent job of summarizing the intent of the bill, and really I wouldn't have any more to add. I think he's explained the bill quite well.
Is this going to prevent us from handcuffing them to a DA cat in Yakutat?
Senator, I hope we've never really actually had that authority, but when it's happened, we probably have some time limits to deal with.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, good for you. Bob, I want to thank you for a lot of the things you've done over the last few years, and I think you and people like you within the Department of Health and Social Services have gone a long ways towards restructuring our criminal justice system for juveniles and making it a much more accountable system. And I wanted that on the record, and I wanted to applaud you and your colleagues for that, because I think you're doing a good job.
Thank you, Senator.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Terrio.
Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Butt-Kane could just clarify, too, that this does not change the speed with which juveniles who are in more of the urban settings, where there is a youth facility available, it doesn't change the time to get them to initial arraignments.
To the Chair, Senator Terrio, that is correct. This 24-hour arraignment would apply only to those juveniles that would be housed in an adult facility in a remote part of the state. We would continue the current law as it would apply to juveniles that would be incarcerated in a youth facility in an urban area. So that is correct.
Ready for a motion?
You bet I am. Thank you, Senator Ellis.
It's a good bill. Bob went around and worked it, and
he did, didn't
I think
he?
That's
yeah.
What makes this a smooth hearing today. So I'll move the bill on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Thank you for that. Is there any objection? There being no objection, the bill moves from committee with individual recommendations. Again, thank you, Bob. Thank you, too, Holly. With that, we are adjourned.
Mr. Chairman, I think this is yet another example of the state laws being applied to individuals on a disparate nature, but there's a compelling reason for it.
There is.